gates upon a battlefield, mankind was passing by. I saw how evil and despair held them in a trance, and as they called for me to join, I shouted,
when I take time to think about it and look around me, it seems that these are terrible times to have to live through as a teenager. A thousand voices call to them I never heard when I was their age. They have a kind of movie to see that I couldn't see, there just wasn't any, and the kind of book to read that I didn't have to read. They have ads to see that I didn't see, and they hear language used in daily living that we just never heard. Now, I know we're influenced by a lot of things, and yet the things we read have a great influence upon us. Our youth magazine is called Young Ambassador, and it might be just the reading experience some of you young folk really need, something that will build you and strengthen you and encourage you in the right way. And for you that are older, maybe it could be just the help your children need. This month's issue is an issue with many good articles in it, but there's one by J. Allen Peterson entitled Conform or Consecrate. And it's really a timely article, and I think any young person will benefit from reading it and be encouraged. And if you're not a subscriber and will write us, we'll be just happy to send you a copy of this month's Young Ambassador, and it'll come to you free. Now, after you have it in your hands, we're sure it'll speak for itself. Of course, now, we're the judge, thinking it worthwhile, but then, you'll be the judge, and we think you'll be glad to be acquainted with it. So you write us at Back to the Bible, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501.
Once I traveled in the valley, so low, so low and lonely.
Brother, fear not.
No more, no more, and I'll reach the other side. By and by and by, well, I'm climbing up the mountain to the sky. I'm going where I'll never, never die, never die. I'm coming. climbing higher up the mountain, and I'll reach the other side by and by. Well, I would not be a sinner. Oh, no. Jesus to the sky, and I started traveling long ago, and I'll reach the other side by and by. Well, well, I'm climbing up the mountain to the sky. Up the mountain, and I'll reach the other side by and by, by and by, by and by.
You say the word God, obviously you have mystery. God, the Bible tells us, and that of course is God's word himself, that he is not like anything we know. There's nothing we can compare God to. There's just nothing we know about, nothing we can know, which we can compare God with. And consequently, I suppose, not only because of that, but because of where we get what little information we have, we listen to everybody, and it's the old story of, you know, they say, and everybody is saying it, until our concepts of God are sometimes so far astray that one would think we have worked at being confused. The idea is almost universal that God sort of frowns on wickedness. He just doesn't like that very much. And if you aren't careful, if you do the wrong things, that he'll allow some strange and maybe terrible things to happen if you don't watch out. But the idea that God loves to reward people is somewhat foreign to us. And I know there's some danger here. To say that God loves to reward people for everything, that's a mistake. Now, God has plans, and God has ways, and God has a system. There's a way to be saved, and there's a way to please God. There's a way to walk with God. And to miss that is to miss everything. And yet the very desire of God in itself, the pure desire of God, is that he may reward people. He loves to do it. It's all but impossible to make us see that the desire of God for every life is the highest possible thing for that life. He wants that life to be the best, the most noble, the most wonderful, pleasing life that can be. And we ignore God or deny him sometimes, mostly, I think, because we think that all God wants to do, you know, is take the joy out of living. If he can somehow kind of make us walk around with our heads down, you know, and kind of grumbly and shuffling along through life with a queer sense of humility, that's what God likes and loves. And we somehow feel, you know, that all saints are stuffy and unreal, that God has made laws to take away our liberty, that the path of righteousness is just too narrow, and the way to the holy place is nothing more than a dull ritual. And of course, that's as far from the truth as you can get. God's provisions for people are inexhaustible. And he wants to shower blessings upon us. God doesn't wait with heaven full of riches and rewards, saying, I'm going to hold them and hoard them. No, God wants to shower rewards and blessings upon people. He calls us to himself. He conforms us to the image of his Son, because that's the place of greatest blessing. And for that conformed life, there are many, many rewards. Now, I'm aware that when we speak of rewards, we must keep in mind that our values change. They change, for instance, with age. A child's values and a man's values are not the same, not unless the man is still childish. And two, they change with knowledge. You know, try telling the fellow who knows that the biggest piece of money is always the most valuable. Remember when a fellow didn't know better, perhaps when he was little, and we used to put a small piece of money and a big piece of money, and a child will always take the big one, but of course the value is less. But after he once finds that out, his value system changes. He knows better. And then our value system changes with experience. Things lose their power, and inner values take on more meaning as we experience loss and gain, and discover that thieves can break through and steal, and rust can corrupt, and there are some things that thieves can't get at, and our value system change. I was thinking of Genesis chapter 14. It's the story of four kings and five kings fighting, and the city of Sodom was taken, and Lot and his family was taken captive. And Abraham, Lot's uncle, heard about it and set out to rescue Lot, and he soon returned in victory. And the king of Sodom, I suppose, wanting to be generous to Abraham, he said to Abraham, now you just keep all the goods that you've rescued while you were out there chasing after Lot and getting him back. Just keep the goods. And Abraham said, no, I'm not going to take a thing. He said, not from a thread to a shoe latch. That is nothing, absolutely nothing, lest you should say, well, I made Abraham rich. And then in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, we read, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, I don't know all that's behind this, but I got a suspicion that the devil came to Abraham and said, you fool, you sure missed it that time. Look at all the stuff the king of Sodom and said you could have, and you turned all that stuff down. And God came along and had a word to say to Abraham. Since Abraham had gotten the victory over things, God could reveal himself to him, knowing that Abraham would know the value of God's revelation of himself. I think of Psalm chapter 19. It says, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And in keeping of them is great reward. Well, what's the reward? Well, he said it's not gold, that's for sure. It's peace and joy, the knowledge that all is well between you and God. And what would we really trade for that? What would we really take for that knowledge? Remember what Luke chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. And Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The diligent seeker finds God, not necessarily gold. He finds grace and hope, which is to say, God knows how to reward with the highest, the best, the most appreciated of rewards. The Lord showed that the rewards of the Lord are even greater than life. Matthew chapter 10, he speaks, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There's a great deal to learn here about rewards. First of all, we learn here that what a person confesses counts. Jesus said, him will I confess before my Father. Who? Who's God going to confess before his Father? What person standing before God Almighty is the Lord going to step forward and own and confess and speak for? Well, he said, the one that confesses me now. He said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. That's one of the great rewards of righteousness, of walking with God. And you know, we really need this. The times we live in call for strong and clear confessions. Politicians need to remember this, and I do not pick on them. But they need to remember this. They need to speak clearly. It will not do just to speak and confess that, well, we believe in a higher power. In some of our political speeches, you know, expecting that to reach through and stir us up and set us on the right track, or that we believe in high standards of morality, or that there is a need for old-fashioned ethics. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess me before men. And what's wrong with our politicians standing up and saying, listen, I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And furthermore, I have placed my trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. I confess him before men. Just what's wrong with that anyway? Have we become bigger than God? Can't we take the name of Jesus with us anywhere we go? We say, well, it may not be popular. Well, so what? And not only so, but it's for the preachers too. Preachers very much need to speak very clearly on this matter. And speak more than that today, you know, is the great goodness of man, and man must be brother to brother and love each other, or that love will surely solve all of our problems. It's time for us to remember that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus Christ as Lord, thou shalt be saved. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. This is not to take away from morality and ethics and trusting in some of these wonderful things and knowing about love. Not to take away from that. It's to come back to the very foundation. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, and honest confession is what God demands and what we need today. In our teaching, we need to say more than that we are struggling upwards toward the light, you know. We take our children and young people and we say, well, we're making this noble struggle, you know, and someday the light will break through. Or we teach them that we're making progress toward the good life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Our problem is not more light. Our problem is not to struggle up, you know, through the problems of the ages and stretch ourselves and sort of reach out until we have more light. Our problem is walking in the light we have. And that's what he said here. So there are rewards if you confess me before men. If you do, I'll confess you before my Father. Another thing he showed here is that love counts. You know, Christ or others, he puts it down here. Well, whom do we love, and what do we love? Daughter, mothers, mother-in-laws, fathers? What a person really loves. You know, what a person really loves, finally, counts. He'll find time for that. Man says, I love God. Well, if he loves God, he'll find time for God. He'll find a place for God in his life. And if he doesn't, he can talk about it until he's blue in the face. It won't change the things at all. He doesn't love God. For what you love, you find a place and a time for her. And then he also shows us here that what we think is most precious may not be at all. He that findeth his life. Oh, you say, that's the answer. He that findeth his life. Well, he said, he that findeth it shall lose it. Here the fellow goes out and he said, boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to find life. I'm looking for one thing. You know, they talk about, you know, there's only one go-around in life. Got to get all there is in it. Well, find it. And he said, you find it, you'll lose it. You see, things are not always precious that we think are so precious. But he said, he that loses his life for my sake. Ha-ha. You say, look at the foolish fellow losing his life. Here's a young fellow, marries a beautiful girl, and they take off into the jungle somewhere, you know. And it seems to be they're lost to everything, and people shake their head and say, crazy, they've just gone plumb crazy. Well, maybe not. They go out there to the ends of the trail somewhere to teach people about the Lord and tell them that Jesus came and died for them, that he rose again for their justification, and people can know what it means to be forgiven of sins and to live righteously. And that is, he said here, you lose your life for my sake, and you'll find it again. Yes, indeed. And then, you know, he also shows us here that God in Christ is always very close to his people. He said, you receive a prophet, you receive me. Oh, there's so many wonderful rewards, and God loves to reward his people. And he holds out the fact of rewards that we may walk with him and do his will, because it's the high life and offers rewards. And rewards are for those who run the race, you know. 1 Corinthians 9, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You see, it's not only that you run. Everybody's running. We don't have time to say hello. We don't have time for anything. We're running. We're in a hurry. We were such a hurry that when the prophet looked through the prophetic telescope down into what we think is our day, certainly beginning here, he said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. Everybody's running. That's nothing new. The point is, why do we run? And how do we run? And with what heart do we run? Not who you are, again, but how you run. What prize do you seek? These are the things that give rewards. And rewards, finally, are for the faithful. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Ah, you know, there's three things that appeared here when Paul talked about rewards are for the faithful. He just didn't lay down, you know, when the going got rough. He said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. That is, he wasn't moved from the course. Oh, it's so easy to get moved today. There's so many voices that call us. There's so many voices saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I'll tell you, it's time, past time, we get back to the fundamental things of what God has spoken in his word, so we know which course to run. Which course do you take off on today that's going to have, at the end, some real, honest rewards? And then he kept faithful to the finish. And so he said, there's rewards laid up. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And so it is for all who run. Oh, you know, the Lord loves to give his people rewards. He wants us on the right road, on the right course, to do his will. And there's no better life, no higher life. And it pays rich rewards.
Jesus will give you his wonderful peace, free you from guilt and despair. Come to the Savior, he waits for you. Jesus is waiting with arms open wide. Come to him now while you may. Come to the Savior, he rose for you, conquering death and the Jesus is waiting triumphantly now, ready and mighty to save. Come to the Savior, he waits for you. Come without further delay. Jesus is waiting with arms open wide. Come to him now while you may.
I never get over the wonder, the truth of that song. God waits for us. His mercy is everlasting for sure. God can afford to wait, but we cannot. Time runs out on us, so what we do, we must do today. Let me say again, don't forget to write for a free copy of this month's Youth Magazine, a wonderful reading experience for your young people, and it'll come free to you. Write us at Back to the Bible, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68501. Well, we hope today's broadcast has been encouraging and helpful to you. Invite a friend to listen if you can. This is Ord Morrow, reminding us, we may say talk is cheap, but you can never buy back cheap talk. Back to the Bible was presented by the Good News Broadcasting Association and comes to you over an international radio network.